Hey fellow golfers, this is Robbie from Best Ball. One of the most popular names in the golf accessory market today is Western Birch. Stop reaching in your pocket for boring plastic or plain white golf tees and elevate your game with premium wooden golf tees from Western Birch. You can customize both the hardwood and bamboo tees with one of their signature stripe patterns in a wide variety of colors. These tees are stylish enough to stand apart from the crowd, traditional enough to align with golf's heritage, and durable enough to make you forget about using anything else. Enter the code BESTBALL in the promo field in your shipping cart to add a free gift to your order. So visit westernbirch.com and get your own premium wood golf tees in the style that suits your game.
Nick, I think in the 6 years now, I'm in sixth year of doing this, I think Saturday and Sunday might have been the worst two back-to-back weather days that I have caddied for. Hello and welcome again to the Caddy Tales podcast. I am Mark the Caddy, happy to join you alongside my AJ Hawk, my sidekick, my colleague, my caddy brethren, my friend Nick, and we are excited to talk about how this game of golf intersects with life, and there's so many lessons that just transcend both places. So what's going on today, Nick?
Not much, man. You reminded me of the draft being in Detroit this past weekend when you mentioned AJ Hawk. So
yeah.
That'd be exciting.
America's team, America's city really kind of put on a show. So next year it's in Green Bay. You might get about a third of the fans. But
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so, you know, quite a weekend, and we'll talk about our opening weekend of caddy season in just a bit. But I know that this was a weekend on both the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour in which there was match play or team play. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And I caught a little bit of the rerun of the LIV tournament yesterday, which I've watched hardly any of that since it has started. But I knew that it had gotten some buzz. What did you think? Any reactions to it?
Yeah, I kind of watched, I think, probably about the same thing that you did. I got to catch a little of the playoff in the LIV event. Didn't really watch any of the PGA event. It was, you know, it's getting hard to watch golf these days for us because now we're back at work and we're usually working during, you know, whatever event's going on. But yeah, I thought the LIV thing was pretty cool. The fans seemed a little raucous, but I guess that's their thing. So
yeah, more power. Yeah, I think this tournament in Australia is their Super Bowl. And then with Cam Smith and his team doing well, I think that jacked people up even more. And I know there's strong feelings out there about the LIV Tour, and I don't really want to get into any of that. But what I thought was neat is for a team play, how when one team hit it into the bunkers, the, you know, the crowd is cheering, and then, you know, stuff you don't really see on a normal weekend. And there's probably debate on if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I thought, you know, maybe some team play could grow on me a little bit more from time to time, just for the sake of it keeps more guys in it. It, you know, allows for more guys to contribute, or, you know, some competition to go on a little more than in some tournaments that we see. So I thought it was pretty interesting. And I was also kind of thinking about, on our course, this was a tournament weekend. Always we start the spring and end the fall with a tournament, a challenge. And, you know, I sometimes have mixed feelings on it because obviously we're not in a professional tournament, but sometimes it's treated that way. But, you know, what do you think are some of the pros and cons when we have match play going on or tournament play at our course?
Yeah, well, so the format we play is like a two-man best ball, which is, I like it for pace of play purposes, obviously. Tournament play can get a little slow the course down a little bit. So hopefully everyone is kind of like utilizing the one best ball format. So if you're, you know, if
I mean, that's key. When they said this weekend, and we're going to talk about the weather in just a few moments.
Yeah.
But when they said this weekend, you have a max of eight and we're playing best ball and we want you to pick it up, you know, on eight for one. And then two, you know, you're doing a best ball so the other guy can pick up. I was like, please, guys, follow through on this. I even said something at the opening tee box. I said, we're gonna hold you to this today. Because a lot of times we see guys in a format like a best ball, and yet they still are like, oh, I just want to play all my shots. I want to play my ball in. And you're, you know, getting a 12 or a 13 after their partner's in with a 6. Yeah. And yeah. It's just tough. It just makes for a long day. And so this weekend, they said max 8. They said pick up your ball. And that became even more important because, Nick, I think in the 6 years now, I'm in sixth year of doing this, I think Saturday and Sunday might have been the worst two back-to-back weather days that I have caddied for. Now, they were dramatically different, but I want to talk a little bit about the weather with you.
Okay.
Because this weekend, we had a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. We had temperatures in the 80s.
Yeah, that was nice.
We had wind chills that I think dipped down into the 20s.
Oof.
We had wind, that was steady the whole weekend at 25, 30.
Yeah, yep.
No, non-relenting. Mm-hmm. But gusts, especially on Saturday, for a huge chunk of the round at 50 miles an hour. They weren't like infrequent gusts. They were every hole you were feeling it.
Yeah.
Sleet, rain. It was, you know, dramatic to see the temperature shifts, to just have a weekend where the wind was. It was, for guys who are high handicap players, I would say virtually unplayable. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, people paid, they traveled, they're in a tournament they're going to play. So it is what it is. And we were excited to get back out there. But it got me thinking, what is your most favorite extreme condition to caddy in, whether it's extreme heat, you know, when we hit 100, wind, rain, fog, what's the one you can deal with the most?
I could probably take the cold. I can't. I'm not a big heat guy. I don't thrive in the heat. So if it's just cold, I can take that. If you mix in a little rain and wind, it gets a little different, I guess. Like yesterday, if I had to work, I probably would have been miserable, but
yeah.
I lucked out.
So I want to touch on that too. You took what we call the cut yesterday, but you know, that's funny that you say the cold. Even though I'm a big guy, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I prefer the extreme heat more than anything else. And I come in, seen me. I mean, I look close.
I have,
taken place. My uniform is just soaked, like somebody opened up a hose on me.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm wrecked. And
I have a story for the viewers. So on the 4th of July, we're caddying last year, and it's like 100 and I don't know, probably 107 with heat index, and we get to hole 2, and I look at Mark, and his whole back is just soaked, like his uniform see-through at this point. And I'm just like, are you okay, man? And
he's
like, yeah, I'll be okay.
Last 4th and 5th of July, we were together, and some big golf Twitter people were with us. So if you're a golf Twitter folks, you'll know Joe Arnold and at Top 100 Rick. We were caddying for them. And so they chose to come on two of the hottest days of the year. There ended up being some hotter days in August, but it was intense heat. And I'm disgusting. I'm hideous. And you know, I always feel guilty for the players because you can feel their shoulder straps for their bags.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Absolutely drenched with Marky juice. And it's disgusting. And you know that I'm carrying it during the loop, but they're going to have to pick them up later. But, you know, what are you going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. But I find, and I was reminded about this yesterday, I mean, my hands were, on the last few holes is when we actually got the worst weather of the day, and my hands were, like, crippled.
Mm-hmm.
I was just shivering, and it had gotten kind of comical by then. It's always nice when the groups, like, concede defeat by that point. And so... but I was just absolutely free. And your body tightens up. Everything is just like my back sore. My feet, I think when it's raining, your feet hurt more which is, I want to know the science behind that. Everyone says, oh, you maybe brace more, but with the contours of our course, I think you're bracing pretty much every step as it is. But yeah, so, okay, then on the flips, by the way, you mentioned the cold. What do you think is the most cold temperature you've ever caddied in?
Probably close to freezing. Yeah. There's been a few times where it snowed when I've been out there, which is usually miserable. It makes you want to rethink some of your life decisions.
Yeah. Now, as far as least favorite, you know what I really struggle caddying in, even though physically it's not the worst? When we get this, the zero visibility fog.
Yeah, it makes it tough.
Yeah.
It's like you have to follow your player to each shot because they have no clue where their ball is going or where to aim or, you know, anything. So, yeah, it makes it really tough for us.
Well, then it's comical because a lot of times, maybe in the early morning rounds, you'll get this a little more frequently, the fog burns off. But I have had probably two or three rounds during the years where it's a full 18 holes of it. And I'm so sad for the players because they dreamt about coming in there. They paid all this money. And you legit just don't see the course. I've been out there where you can't see the lake. But you'll put a towel down to aim for them. And they're on the tee. And they hit, you can maybe see the line of flight, but almost always they hit the drive and they immediately turn to you and be like, is that going to be okay? Yeah. And it's like, I mean, caddies, we do get good at spotting the ball. We do get good at, but we don't have like special eyesight that sees through the stuff that, you know, you can't. And so we're taking our best guess. You lose kind of depth perception. You know, you might know the line it went on, but you're not really knowing how far. So a lot of times you're hoping to get lucky. And every now and then you get those guys who, like, don't expect the round to play differently because even though they can't see. I mean, it's akin to being, like, all of a sudden saying you're blind, go play a round of golf and shoot the same score you normally do. Yeah, and exactly. So I don't like that. What about you? Is there something you like worse?
No, the fog can be pretty brutal. I think the rain days are super tough because the bags get like waterlogged. You know, if you have a towel on your bag, the bag's gonna get, you know, the towel's gonna get full of water and just weigh like 15 pounds by the time the round's over. And you're, like you said, you're just sore the entire time because you're carrying like, I don't know, probably well over 50 pounds of weight at that point. So
yesterday, my guy's bags were heavy without weather conditions, okay? And, what are you going to do? It's like there's rain in the forecast. They're going to have a bunch of stuff in there. They were heavy bags just in general, like the brand of them. Yeah. They had all their clubs, all this stuff in there. But you're not going to say take out your rain gear or whatever. I mean, they need it.
Yep.
And so you just got to grin and bear it. Saturday, it was hard enough to walk the course with the wind. And all we had was wind. It was warm, but, you know, 30 to 50 mile an hour winds. And when you were walking into it, it was comical. You could laugh about it, though.
Yeah.
And my players' bags were light on Saturday. So as you're walking into it, you're not enjoying it, but you're laughing because it's like, oh, this is ridiculous. Who's going to play well in this? Yesterday, we had similar winds. But you add rain that spit on us for at least half the round to the point where the bags are soaked and you're soaked. They were absolute tanks. They were so heavy. And to just kind of like try to trudge up a hill with them or whatever, it was so difficult. And the players were, they were cool. They were, you know, they're like, this has to suck. And, you know, whenever the guy acknowledges it, you're like, we're good. You know, it's like, you want the guy to act like, you guys must love being out here. Those are the guys you want to kind of, well, you know, this isn't great. But when guys are cool, like yesterday, and they're like, this probably sucks, you're like, you're trying to make them feel better. No, we do this all the time. It's all good, you know.
Yeah, my group on Friday that ended up quitting, they were joking around with me and being like, we can play all 18 if you want. I'm like, I've been through plenty of bad weather days. I'm okay.
Yeah,
That was nice, yeah.
Well, here's one. You know, that's funny. So Nick mentioned briefly that he took a cut yesterday. So we were in the caddy shack, and I had already been assigned to a loop. And I wanted the work, even though I knew it was going to hurt, because, to be honest, I needed the money. And my wife would have been mad at me if I didn't work. So I got assigned to a loop, and I'm like, okay, cool. And it was like 10:30. So I'm like, all right, I'll be done at a good time. I'll have the evening to relax and warm up, whatever. But we came in to go to the bathroom, me and my caddy partner, at about 10:10 or whatever. And the caddy manager walks out and goes, who really wants to work today? Now, in our caddy language, that means there's hardly any loops left. And if you don't raise your hand, if you say you don't want to work, there's a likelihood, strong likelihood, you're going to go home, especially with this manager, because he's great at running the sheet and knows exactly how many guys he's going to need. Mm-hmm. One hand went up out of, there were probably 15, 20 guys sitting there. And one hand, he wants to work. And Nick, have you heard a player say when you've gone out on a miserable day, something to the effect of like, oh yeah, caddies probably wanted to get out and make some money today. You know, we played because, you know, I know caddies want to work. I've heard that a number of times. Have you ever heard something like that?
Yeah, I have, but not very often. I think most people understand for the most part.
I'm blown away. I have actually had enough players where I'm like, do they understand? And so I was telling our guys yesterday, like, it's actually like a competition and a game between the caddies to see who doesn't have to work. Like, yeah, you don't get paid if you don't work in our job. But some days, guys are just like, it's not worth it. Unless they're destitute and it's the difference between being homeless or not.
Yeah.
So like, I'll take the cut. And you know, I'm notorious in the past on bad days. Our main caddy master likes to make deals. Like, he's going to cut the guys first that'll pick up later days that are busier. And you always shake your head at me, don't you?
Oh yeah, I think you have to work the next 52 Sundays, still from last year. So,
he knows this by now, the caddy master. So he'll just like, I let myself be taken advantage by him, because it'll be like, yeah, I'll work 4 Sundays if you just let me leave today. And then as soon as I get in the car, I'm like, what did I do? Should have just grinned and bared it today. You have a lot more discipline in that regard, where you don't. I remember once, and if any managers listen to this, he was kidding, but you tested that to me that you don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm already there, so that's the way I look at it. I don't know, I'm already there. Yeah. Might as well work.
You know, they're gonna like get more from you than you want to give. So,
yeah, exactly.
You have to have the right mental game. I went in yesterday saying, I'm working, I don't care. You have to be in the right mental headspace. Now, sometimes when the forecast is really, really bad a few days out, guys are like, they've already preconditioned themselves into the thought they're not working. And there's nothing worse for motivation than to go in and one, half the time, because of the lake there, the weather doesn't turn out to be what they said. Mm-hmm. But two, if you are one of the guys sent up, you almost feel like you're being punished. And it is quite the game. But yeah, in case anyone's ever wondering, don't ever make the decision just to play because you're so kind and you think the caddies want to work. Play because you want to play. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Did your guys adjust expectations this weekend?
To be honest, no. So the Saturday group, they were like, we shot 82 last year. And they're like, how many years have you been here? I'm like, 15. They're like, oh, you're going to make all the difference. You know, we're going to shoot so much lower. And I'm like, oh, it's pretty windy. So I'm not sure that's going to happen, but yeah, they ended up, shooting 76 as a team. So they did do better, luckily.
Yeah, you know, I said yesterday to my guys, like, if anyone comes in saying they shot par,
they're
probably lying, you know, like, and I shouldn't be so cynical, but I think that it was such harsh conditions yesterday to play that you know, I know it's a best ball, but it was tough. And so both days, my guys adjusted expectation. My guys on Saturday were high handicap players. And one guy says, you know, he plays like golf twice a year. But I walk up on Saturday, and one of my guys, nice guy, and he had a good spirit about him. But I walk up, and he's a 30 handicap, and he has no driver in his bag. He doesn't know how to hit a driver. Like, so he hits, like, the most club he hits is a 4 hybrid. And so I'm picturing on, like, the 500-plus-yard par 3s straight into a 50-mile-an-hour wind how many shots we're going to take. But he was like, you know, once we got out there, if he hit one shot on a hole where the ball, like, went up in the air and, like, flew somewhere, he was, like, happy. And so then he's like, yeah, just pick up a ball. So, like, then if he shanked the next one or hit it way out, he's like, I don't care. Did you see that good shot beforehand or whatever? I'm like,
okay.
And they were very firm on the 8. Like, they didn't, if they were going to get an 8, they were done. Yeah. And so I would say on Saturday, 18 holes, I can't remember exactly, but I would guess at least 14 of them we maxed out on 8.
Really? Between both players?
Like, between both players.
One of them couldn't beat an 8?
If you play golf twice a year and it's your first time playing this year and you haven't been to the driving range, I'm not sure one of the hardest courses in America in a 50-mile-an-hour wind is going to be your go-low round. So,
no, yeah, true. Yeah.
I would say, how many miles do you think you walked Saturday?
For a fact, I walked 9.3 miles.
What's a good number?
Usually like 8, 8.5. So,
okay, yeah. So, I mean, depending on the day, sometimes it's 7 if you have guys playing, you know, straight down the middle. But that's about as low as you can get. I've been out there with you before when you've gotten 10, so at least that didn't happen to you. And I would say that both days this weekend I hit at least 9 miles. Yeah, and that was – but, you know, it's good because I'm trying to take off weight. And one of the things that I was – how's your body feeling?
Today feels good because I had off yesterday. The past couple days, I was pretty sore.
Yeah, a little sore, but I compare how I was this weekend to my first year caddy. I mean, literally my first year caddying, I had no idea what to expect, and I had been going through a difficult time. I hadn't been working out, and I was out there, like, seizing up and not even being able to, like, open my hands. I was, like, peeling my fingers back from my hands, and I'm like, it was absolutely miserable. And this week I felt strong for the most part. Like, I thought it was good. My body didn't feel like it was about to collapse. It was tired, and I was ready to be done yesterday. But I've been out there feeling worse, so I was pretty thankful for that.
Actually remember, like sometimes I'd come into the caddy shack and kind of before we really knew each other, and I would hear you just complaining about how sore you were, and I was just like, this guy doesn't shut up.
I remember that first year, the first month, my body went through absolute pain. And my first time double looping, I remember, like, I don't even remember, like, how I finished it. You know, I'm like, it was absolute misery. And I still remember after that first double loop going and getting, like, a double butter burger with cheese curds, a vanilla shake from Culver's, thinking you can just eat whatever after something like that. So I really think that it was a lot of miles walked, but overall my players were cool about knowing we may not shoot the low round of our lives, or they adjust, even if they came in thinking that, they adjusted once they got out on the course. Is there any particular, I think you did have some where you saw some particularly crazy shots, some things that took place out there.
Yeah, the wind was playing tricks on the ball. I had one of my guys in particular, he saw parts of the course that I wasn't exactly familiar with, but
you played a few holes from different holes, didn't you?
Sure did, yeah. Yeah, that happened, but we made her.
There was the first tee shot yesterday from the other, not my players, the other caddies' players, and they started cracking up when they saw it. They both popped up their drives, and yeah. It literally looked like the ball was coming backwards at us, like a boomerang.
Oh, no.
And they're just like, you know, they were laughing like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And I asked these guys, like, we had two holes left to go, and we had started on the back nine, so we were on hole seven. And hole seven and eight were our worst weather holes yesterday. Oh, so we were almost done. But it's sleeting on us, raining, 50-mile-an-hour winds, whatever. And I said to these guys, I said, you know, like, if we weren't just two holes away from being finished, like, if this would have been the weather we started with this, would you guys really have finished? Or, do you have a breaking point? Now, my guys said they had a breaking point.
Okay.
And the other two guys said no. There was no chance we were going to quit. And yes. I'm like, I don't get it. But that brings me to a question.
Okay.
Ireland or Scotland, do you have an interest in going to a golf trip there?
Probably not like a full-on golf trip, like a seven-day event. I'd like to play St. Andrews. I think that would be pretty awesome. But as far as like a whole golf trip, probably not. I've been outside in bad weather before. I don't particularly enjoy it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everyone I talked to that's done it has said, like, you have to do it. It's absolutely amazing.
And that's what I hear. And there's that part of me that's like, I'm in this industry now, so I should want to go. Mm-hmm. But, like, the thought of planning out a golf trip a year in advance, like you probably have to do for something like that.
Yeah.
You have no idea what the weather's going to be. And you go fly across the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play. I mean, you're going to feel like I didn't just spend whatever, three, five, and I'm going to quit. Yeah. And yet you might be out there like in stuff we were yesterday. I mean, they're out there and worse all the time. It looks miserable to me. And I just don't know that I need the experience after doing this job. But I was with players that are like, you're going to go over there. You got to play. And that's kind of the attitude a couple of these guys had yesterday. It was like, you know, we drove here. We got to play. And I mean, on the one hand, you totally get it. This is a lot of money and stuff. But on the other hand, you're like, is this fun? And I literally asked one of the guys, I said, like, do you guys think this is fun? And he's like, we're on the edge. We're on the edge.
Yeah.
And so, but it was about finishing. It was about seeing where they finished in the tournament and stuff like that. But if I have to say, I probably would have some FOMO and end up hopping on a trip to Ireland and Scotland if my buddies were going and I had the money. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that I would choose that over other places to go first. And the Dunes is the other place that scares me because I see some videos that people post from there and I'm like, I get enough of this. Yeah. One of the cool things about caddying, I think, is the caddy life as far as the brotherhood and the relationships you have. We kind of had some fun in group texts talking about the weather the last few days, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's been brutal.
I love to, like, I can picture guys who went to the caddy bar over the weekend. Just, you walk in and everybody can finish each other's sentences. Mm-hmm. They can tell the war stories, you know, and then everybody embellishes a little bit. And that's one of my favorite things about caddying. I mean, I love caddying. But I'm not sure if you go back in time, I would have loved caddying as much as I do if you didn't have that kind of camaraderie and that common shared experience that goes on out there. Because you, like, you know, everybody's thinking the same things. And then the funny stuff, like, about, you know, how players are reacting or things that are said out there. Every guy hears the same thing or says the same thing. So it's kind of fun. Yeah. I don't know. If I step away from my phone lately, I'll come back and I'll see, like, on texts or whatever from guys. You're part of that for sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot this season. So get used to it.
Yeah. Right. You know, I did think about with my players yesterday, you know, talking to them about, is this fun or not? Do you enjoy this? Would you finish? All that kind of stuff. How there feels like an obligation for them to kind of put the best construction on things and stuff. And I think that's kind of cool that we get to be a part of still, even on the worst days, a pretty special experience for these guys. Because at the very least, these guys aren't going to forget it.
Yeah, they've got a story for years. Yeah, exactly.
Their whole ride home yesterday was just, I'm sure, telling little war stories about things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's neat that we get to be a part of that. Actually, one of the guys took a video and of me with the wind just howling when we were on a tee box. And we didn't connect about it after the round, but he found my Twitter this morning, sent me a message asking for my number so he could text it to me. And so you're like, yeah, we'll link to you. You know, you have this video on your phone that is going to remind you of this day. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's great fun. Yeah. All right, Nick. Well, we have a segment that we kind of sidelined for a while, but we'll bring back now. It'll be a little easier that we're into the season. Each week, I want to finish our show with a segment we call Good Caddy, Bad Caddy. And each of us reflect on something that happened over the weekend or the previous week where we did a good job and somewhere where we maybe didn't do the best job. You got anything?
Yeah, so on Saturday, we got to the par 3 and it was dead into the fan and it's like 145. I tell my guy to hit a 180 shot and he hits it and like he hits this high ball that's just kind of rising and probably like 15 yards short of the green and I don't know, it just made me think of like maybe I'm rusty, maybe I'm not good at judging the wind yet and just didn't feel in midseason form yet.
The one my player on the 10th hole yesterday, we were 150 yards away and he grabs his 4-iron, which is like his 210 club, you know.
Yeah.
He flushed it. I mean, hit it good. Yeah. And it came up a good 10 yards short of the green. And that's where it's like funny because he's like, he wasn't mad about anything. It's like, I mean, we're like, what can you do? He didn't have a long, you know, and, that same guy, one good moment with him that I'll share is so he had on our fourth hole, we were downwind, what is it, like 400 yards or whatever?
Yeah, 420 from the greens, yeah.
420, yeah. He was 70 yards away from the flag, okay?
Wow.
So, yeah. But on 7, which is 170-yard par 3 yesterday, I had him hit driver. And oof. Yeah, I mean, that's how crazy the weather was when we were on that hole. And he put it on the green. He didn't hit it over the green. He put it on there. And so we were it's just funny. But no, a good caddy moment for me is with this particular player. I think he probably had the highest hopes. He was out grinding on the range. And first thing he says to me is, we're going to go low. And he was sort of joking, but I could tell he was the alpha male of the group. Mm-hmm. And I found a way to gently, and we were talking, you know, like, I said, I'm like, you know, I think a scratch golfer today would be hard pressed to shoot 85.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You know? and so I was going for 90 and I'm a, you know, an 8 or whatever. And then I said, yeah, today, you know, even with putting, you know, the wind's gonna wreak havoc with putts. He's like, it can do that?
Yeah.
And that reminds me on the second hole, which is if you're on the right side of the green, the flag's over on the left, it's a very speedy putt.
Yeah.
Downhill, big right to left, but very speedy. And most times we see guys just knock it past the hole and have to come back, you know. My guy and then the other caddy's guy both hit the ball hard. Made it about half the way to the green.
Oh, wow.
Into the hole. I've never seen anything like it.
So
you'd have to be a professional golfer who's out here for days practicing to know how to hit this. And so anyway, did you have another moment you want to share, Nick?
Yeah, I had one of my guys birdied like four holes. And it's a great feeling that I forgot in the offseason how great it is to like have a read for birdie and your guy nails the putt and... It's almost like you're making birdie. It's really cool. It's a great feeling.
My guy on Friday, where the weather was cold it wasn't great, but it wasn't like Saturday and Sunday. He was, he had to have made the most longest amount of putts that I can remember in a long time. I mean, he was just dialed in, and for the first day, I was pretty dialed in as far as seeing him, and he was a good putter, and so that was kind of exciting to be a part of. You know, I guess my bad caddy moment that I would share is, you know, it was a struggle yesterday just to keep up, you know, like, like, on the one hand, my body felt good, but on the other hand, when you're walking into that wind and you have these 50-pound bags on your shoulders, it's just kind of tough to stay up with the, you know, 20-something or 30-something-year-old players. And so I'm going to continue to try getting in shape and taking off some pounds and working on that. So in a weight loss challenge at my gym. And so hopefully here by June, July, I'm going to be truly a gazelle out there, Nick.
You're going to be a new guy.
I'll be able to keep up with you.
Sure.
Well, it's fun to talk about the weather. If you guys ever get to out to our neck of the woods, maybe you'll be able to remember around like that too. We would prefer you come and enjoy a beautiful day where the golf is able to be played to your abilities. But if you can't, we might as well have the apocalyptic hellfire that we saw over the weekend. So, yeah. Until then, friends, this is Mark and Nick reminding you that the game of life is very much like the game of golf. No matter how many shanks and flubs or how things are going, on this side of the ground, there's always another shot full of hope and opportunity. So take yours.